In this last portion of our liturgy, we are making an approach to the Lord's table. And one of the things we now do is to confess the faith together, first with the help of our catechism, and then by reciting the Apostles' Creed together. As we partake of the bread and the cup, we are saying, "I believe." And it is good for us. It is a good practice for us to say what it is that we believe. And so first we will do so in a very narrow way, focusing on particular Christian doctrines with the help of the Baptist Catechism. And then we will do so very broadly as we recite the Apostles' Creed together, which is a wonderful summary or symbol of the Christian faith in general. Today we come to Baptist Catechism questions 11 and 12. Let's begin by reciting them together. Question 11 asks, "How does God execute his decrees?" Answer, God executes his decrees in the works of creation and providence. Question 12 asks, "What is the work of creation?" The answer, the work of creation is God's making all things of nothing by the word of his power in the space of 6 days, and all very good. Last Sunday, I told you that we were entering into a section of the Catechism that teaches us about the works of God. When we talk about the essence of God, we are talking about what he is. And we have confessed that the triune God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. That is what God is. Now we are talking about what God has done. And where did we start when talking about the works of God? We actually started by talking about God's decree. A decree, we learned, is a declaration or an order. God has made a decree. When did he decree? In eternity, before the creation of the world. What did he decree? All things that come to pass. Who moved God to decree what he decreed? The answer is no one. God cannot be moved. He is the unchangeable one, remember? God decreed according to the counsel of his own will. And what was his aim? We said, the glory of his name. And now we ask the question, how does God execute his decrees? The word execute means to carry out. If I say that a team executed its game plan, you know what that means. They had a game plan and they carried it out. They accomplished their plan. So we know that God has decreed or foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. And now the question is, how does God execute or carry out this decree? How does he accomplish his plans and purposes? The answer that is given in Baptist Catechism 11 is rather straightforward, but it is very important. It is foundational to a proper view of the world and God's relationship to it. Hear the answer again. God executes his decrees in the works of creation and providence. God's decree can be compared to a blueprint. God's work in creation can be compared to the building of the house. And God's works in providence can be compared to the maintenance of the home. So the order is this. First, God's decree. Next, God's work of creation. After that, God's works of providence. Question 12 of our catechism asks, what is the work of creation? Answer, the work of creation is God's making all things of nothing by the word of his power in the space of 6 days, and all very good. This answer is very brief, but it says what needs to be said. Firstly, notice that the first thing we must say about the works of God is that he created. God issued a decree in eternity, and the first thing that he did as it pertains to his relationship to us was to create all things seen and unseen. Secondly, I want you to notice that the word work is singular in our catechism. When we come to talk about God's providence, we will talk about God's works in the plural. But creation is said to be God's work in the singular. Why? Because this is a work that God has finished. It is not ongoing. You might be thinking, well, what about all of the creatures that are brought into existence in time? Men and women, animals, trees and plants, etc. Well, though, of course, God is their source, too, they are brought into existence through ordinary and natural means that God has set into place. And so when new life is brought into being in the world, it is properly placed under the category of God's providence, his upholding of this world, his governing of this world that he has made. When we speak of God's work of creation, we are to think of that original and supernatural act of creation that God worked in the beginning. Thirdly, our catechism says the work of creation is God's making all things. So, all that exists must be placed into two broad categories. There is the one and only living and true God, and there is his creation. Stated in another way, there is the Creator, and there are his creatures. And this might seem very obvious to you, but many have erred by blurring or disregarding this distinction. Idolatry, for example, is a failure to maintain the Creator-creature distinction. There is God, and there is God's creation. God alone is God, and everything else that exists is God's creation. We must know this to be true in the mind, and we must live according to this truth from the heart. God alone is to be honored as God, and the created things are to be honored, used, and enjoyed appropriately as created things. The fourth observation to make about Baptist Catechism 12 is that it says God made all things of nothing. This is a very important doctrine. You and I have the ability to create things, but we cannot create something out of nothing. That is only something that God can do. In Genesis 1:1, we find a description of the creation, and we see that God created out of nothing. The text says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." That is to say, he created the earthly physical realm and the heavenly spiritual realm in the beginning. Hebrews 11:3 is very clear about God's creating everything that exists out of nothing. It says, "By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." Perhaps you are thinking, but didn't God create some things by forming and fashioning them out of pre-existing material? Most famously, we are told that God made the first man from the dust of the earth, and the first woman was made from man's side. But that does not contradict the doctrine of creation out of nothing. In the beginning, there was nothing except the triune God. And then there was something, the heavenly and earthly realms. What made the difference? The answer is that God made the difference through his work of creation. He brought something into existence out of nothing. Fifthly, our catechism describes how God created. He did so, we are told, by the word of his power. This is what Genesis 1 teaches throughout. There is a phrase that appears again and again in this chapter. The phrase is this, "And God said," Genesis 1:3. "And God said, let there be light, and there was light," Genesis 1:6. "And God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters," Genesis 1:9. "And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so." And on we go as we consider the account of creation in Genesis chapter 1. "And God said" is the refrain that repeats. Our catechism is correct. The work of God, the work of creation is God's making all things of nothing by the word of his power. And this is a very important observation. It should help us to see that creation was the work of the triune God. As we move on in the scriptures from our consideration of Genesis 1, things that are hinted at there become much more clear. When all is considered, we must confess that it was the triune God, the one living and true God, who eternally subsists in three persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who created the heavens and the earth. What we see is that the Father created through the Son. The Son is also called the Word. The Father created through the Son or Word and by the Holy Spirit. If we had more time, we would demonstrate these things from Scripture. The sixth thing to notice about Baptist Catechism 12 is that it says this work of creation was accomplished in the space of 6 days. This is a very important doctrine, one that is filled with meaning. How long did God take to create the heavens and the earth? Genesis 1 very plainly states that God took 6 days to finish his work. Notice another phrase that repeats in Genesis 1. It appears at the end of each of the days of creation, Genesis 1:5. And there was evening and there was morning the first day, Genesis 1:8. And there was evening and there was morning the second day, Genesis 1:13. And there was evening and there was morning the third day, etc. God created the heavens and the earth, and he did so in the space or in the span of 6 days. God took 6 days to create the heavens and the earth. The big question we should be asking is, why did God take 6 days to create? Did he not have the power to create it all instantaneously? Did he lack the wisdom to accomplish this? Did he grow tired or run out of time? Well, we must not forget what we have said about God in Baptist Catechism 7. The answer to these questions must be no. He is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his power and his wisdom. God was not lacking in wisdom. He was not lacking in power. Thus, he had to take 6 days to create the heavens and the earth. No, he took 6 days to create the heavens and the earth for a reason. What is the reason? In brief, we must see that God took 6 days to create, to set an example for man to imitate, and to communicate something about his purpose for man, made in his image. We will eventually come to consider the fourth of the Ten Commandments in our journey through the Baptist Catechism. The fourth of the Ten Commandments is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And the thing that I want you to see today is that the pattern of 6 days for work and 1 day for rest and worship was baked into the created order by God's work of creation. God created as he did in order to set an example for man and to communicate something to us about his purpose for man. This pattern of working for 6 days and resting for one was baked into the very order of creation. Man is to imitate God in his work. Man is also to imitate God in his rest. And in this pattern of work and rest, there is an invitation to enter into God's eternal rest. There is an invitation baked into the created order to enter into God's eternal rest. In brief, I must remind you that Adam failed to enter into that rest. I must also remind you that Christ did enter that rest. And we will enter that rest too. How? Only through faith in Jesus Christ, the perfectly obedient, crucified, buried, risen, and ascended one. So, when we talk about God's work of creation, one of the things we must say is that God took 6 days to create the heavens and the earth. This is not just a fun fact that we find in Scripture, one that we could debate about and take it or leave it. In fact, the 6 days of creation followed by 1 day of rest in the creation of the heavens and the earth has theological significance that runs throughout the Bible, from Genesis 1 to the very end of the book of Revelation. This is about eternal rest. This is about the work that Jesus Christ has done to enter into rest and our rest in him. Brothers and sisters, you can feel me being tempted right now to go on and on and on about this. I love the doctrine of the Sabbath, not because I want to impose restrictions upon you. I love the doctrine of the Sabbath because it is the gospel. Jesus Christ obeyed God perfectly, suffered in the place of sinners, rose from the dead on the third day, and entered into rest so that we might rest in him. He is the one who brings us into this eternal rest of God that was originally pictured by the Sabbath day at the time of creation. God took 6 days to create the heavens and the earth and rested on the seventh in order to bake this into the very order of creation. A Sabbath keeping remains for the people of God. You and I are to honor the Sabbath day still. The Sabbath day now being the first day of the week and not the seventh, because He is risen. I'm glad you're awake. You were able to participate with me on that. This is about rest. So we must get the doctrine of creation correct if we want to see these things. Fifthly, our catechism describes how God created by the word of His power. I've already touched upon that. The last thing we must say about creation is that when God finished His work, it was all very good. Here is another repeated refrain found in Genesis 1. And God saw that it was good. And God saw that it was good. And God saw that it was good. You may see Genesis 1, 4, 10, 12, 18, 21, and 25. And after the account of God's creation of man, we read, and God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. The creation that came from God's hand was good, good, and very good. There was no defect. There was no corruption. From the start, there was no sin. But we know that that's not the end of the story. Man did fall into sin, but God was gracious to provide a Redeemer. He is Christ the Lord. You know, brothers and sisters, it is very important that we do what we are doing here. I hope that you see it. The Christian faith needs to be taught. The Word of God needs to be preached. The Christian faith needs to be taught. And you all need to make connections. Connections that perhaps you haven't made before. I pray that you see the value of it. You are here and you chose to be here. You must. This is me now just kind of going on a tangent. And I think that's fine from time to time. But there is so much darkness in this world, isn't there? So much darkness. So much wickedness. It seems more visible than it's been in the past. Just right out there in front of you. God's order that He established in creation is being turned on its head by the world. You know, there is so much darkness in the spiritual realm. Do you want to know what the solution is to that darkness? It is the truth of God's word. It must be preached. It must be preached. And I pray that you would understand it, that you would receive it, and that you would live according to it as God's people. And so it is not just a thing that we do, you know, to talk about things like God's decree and His work of creation. These are essential doctrines that must be known and believed by Christians if we are to live as God's people in this world. And they are very much connected with the gospel of Jesus Christ itself. God's creation was good when it came from His hand, and it was ruined by the sin of Adam. What did Jesus Christ the Messiah come to do except to redeem not only you and me as individuals, but God's created order? And to establish a new heavens and new earth. I'll say it again. Here I go to the Sabbath again, because it is the gospel. We rest and worship on the first day of the week because it was on the first day of the week that a new creation was brought into existence. Christ rose from the dead and inaugurated a new creation. And if you are in Christ Jesus, you are a new creation. The Sabbath keeping remains for the people of God because we are to remember the new creation that was brought into existence when Jesus Christ burst forth from that grave on the third day, which is the first day of the week. And a Sabbath keeping will remain for the people of God until Christ returns and we enter into the fullness of the rest that He has earned in the new heavens and in the new earth. Do you see that these things are all connected? See the connections, believe them, and live according to them, brothers and sisters. How does God execute His decrees? Our catechism is correct. God executes His decrees in the works of creation and providence. What is the work of creation? The work of creation is God making all things of nothing by the word of His power in the space of 6 days, and all very good. Each phrase here is true and deeply important.